I like the point that you said useful reflection, and then Ajahn answered, no, I understand at this moment. So it means the useful reflection may be not so much a condition, or should we not consider the Dhamma we hear?
No, should or should not?
No.
At all?
No.
Yeah.
Still.
Otherwise, it's like urging.
Yeah.
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 Desire to develop, to practice, to have.
Like an idea of having those compartments for reflecting on the Buddha or the Dhamma again.
Two of your young nephews were talking to you, Kunsijin, and the nephews are saying, they're only 20 years old, and they're saying, oh, we'd like to study Buddhism, but we're afraid now we're enjoying life and meeting girls. If we study Buddhism, we'll lose all our desire for woman and give up, and it'll be, we can't stand that, so we can't study. And Ajahn said, look at Robert, he is very serious, and has very good understanding, and he goes to karaoke and so on, so don't worry. So then I thought, oh, well, this is fine. So it all worked out very well. So there's no, right from the beginning, no forcing about doing anything. And Ajahn, I thought, really interesting.
As long as there is interest in the study, it's all right.
Yeah. Because someone came to you and liked alcohol, drinking, and he likes you so much because you never insisted not to drink.
That is the word that I think that if I mention, you might like it. Otherwise, you cannot see your own accumulation.
Yes, that's so true.
Because in this life, the thing that it's a must not to do that, but it's not your own accumulation.
You're just following a rule that you artificial imposition.
Mm-hmm. Lopa does not let go.
Lopa is still there.
Yeah. It draws you back to rule and what you consider as good life without any understanding.
And there'll be as much attachment to those rules as you are with other things.
That is the craft of Lopa. So one can see that it's like a fight of the very subtle lobha, because one thinks that it must be or should be that way, but that is lobha.
That's subtle lobha, but it's still dangerous, just as dangerous as
the if Panya doesn't know that, no way to progress at all.
Is it really a subtle lobha?
It's more and more subtle.
That's what most people think, that they think, get rid of the, if they can force down the big lobha, the obvious one, then it's better to have the subtle one, but actually the subtle one is not wisdom, it's not helping. It's just hiding
the
things.
The one that takes one away from the present moment, whether one's at the karaoke or in the business meeting or whenever, if it's an idea of another topic.
Or even when awareness arises, the idea can be try a little more. Something like that. See, who's there?
I have a question about udaccha and the hindrances. Can one say that the nivarana, the hindrances, include all akusala because of udaccha? Because there is...
Udaccha does not arise with kusala.
Right. But because of udaccha arises with all akusala, and because one of the hindrances is udaccha, does it mean the hindrances include all akusala?
When there is no understanding, udaccha is just a reality.
Right.
So these are nivarana for samatha.
Right, yes.
And avicca is nivarana for panya.
Right, but talking about the nivarana for samatha, can one say that all akusala are nivarana because udaccha arises with all akusala? Mm-hmm. Yes.
But lopa would be the dominant one, or what? As a hindrance?
Whenever it arises and there is no understanding, it hinders the progress of kusala. It's like when one is trying not to have it, how not to have lopa and udaccha and all akusala. It's impossible.
So why distinguish? Why not say all akusala?
Okay, all. If you want it to be more details, then kamachanda, vyapata, and so forth.
And when it specifies udaccha there, is that just referring to the particular...
Any kind
of akusala? Yeah.
Especially, we don't have to call it anything.
Okay.
I just heard this on one of the recordings in Thai, so I mention it. I think that was just the point that came up. Hindrances are just one way of classifying akusala jetasikas, right?
like our hearts and your hearts and your many groups, special aspects expressed there.
That's why some are selected.
Well,
there are different ways of classifying the unwholesome jetta seekers. You know, like orcas, floods, and yorkers, and nivaranas is another one. So different ones are mentioned for inclusion because different aspects are there.
Different aspects.
Latent tendencies, anusaya.
Like the ocean. Ocean of concept.
Can you say more about the ocean of concept?
Now.
So we follow concept. The ocean of concept instead of paramatha.
Always flooded by concept.
And little, very little about paramatha.
Yeah. In a dream of concept.
But if we try and stop the concept, that's just lopa.
That's not the way.
We had some discussion yesterday, I think, when you weren't here, about nimitta.
Oh, that's a good topic, yeah.
Yeah.
That satipatthana in the beginning is knowing the nimitta of the characteristic, is it?
The nimitta of dhammas are what is seen.
Right. That was very interesting to learn that last time, yeah.
So when we talk about the ocean of concepts, does that include this idea of what we see as the nimitta of the dhamma?
But I think you said last time I was here also, even in the beginning when understanding is developing, it's only knowing the nimitta of the paramatta dhamma. Is that right?
Yeah, so what is nimitta?
It's like the sign that's left.
Why do we call it a sign?
Because it's falling away.
All the time. What is left is just the sign of something, like sign of visible object. But actually, each one has fallen away.
Already.
Already.
When satipatthana is very developed, or for the
it's the beginning of seeing the difference between concept and reality.
At nama rupa paricchida jnana, that's...
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Just know the moment with sati and without sati.
Okay. And that's still knowing the difference between
whenever it's sti, it is aware of a characteristic. So in a day, only different characteristics appearing, like nimitta too, when there is no awareness. And one can say that the object of satipatthana is a characteristic of a reality, but still, as long as it's not moment of realizing the arising and falling away, it's still nimitta. And even at that moment after experiencing the arising and falling away, the just one characteristic is nimitta of that reality. So what doesn't have nimitta?
Are you saying that one characteristic?
Nibbana.
Nibbana only.
Oh, yes.
Animitta.
It's difficult when when realizing the arising and falling away, you understand what nimitta is.
A characteristic of a reality which arises and falls away. The nimitta of rupa, the nimitta of vedana, the nimitta of sanya, the nimitta of sankhara, the nimitta of vijnana.
What's the difference between, say, rupa and the nimitta of rupa?
Without rupa, can there be nimitta?
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a paramatta or not paramatta, the nimitta?
Reality is paramatta.
Yes.
And nimitta is the shadow of paramatta.
So it's panyati.
It's not panyati, I think. We have to be careful.
Okay. Not concept.
Be careful.
Not concept.
Because when we talk about shadow, it's not any word.
But in the Abhidhammata Sangaha, they talk about the shadow of realities.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was referring to concepts.
But without that, can there be any shadow?
No, without the reality, there can't be that.
Mm-hmm. So we have to know what concept we mean.
Yes.
What kind of concept.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Different levels of concept.
It's not a concept. As your example of the fire.
As long as a characteristic is appearing.
So that's not a concept. That
the
appears.
Characteristic is not.
Yeah.
But what you take for something.
Oh, it depends on what we take.
Mm-hmm.
We may take it as a ring of fire, that becomes a concept.
Yeah.
But what appears is.
Even so, because you see that the meaning of concept or what we should understand better. Now, there is concept of reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or nimitta of reality, like nimitta of visible object, right?
Yes.
We don't talk about concept. But we talk about nimitta of visible object as long as it does not appear as only
visible
object.
But then you also said that even at the moment of seeing rise and fall, it's still nimitta.
When Panya grows, it knows the difference between the conditioned reality, which has nimitta of each one of its own, and Nibbana, which doesn't have anything as nimitta at all.
I asked that same question about nimittas, shadows of realities, referring to concepts, and Khunsu Chin gave an answer about levels of nimitta and nimitta in different contexts.
Yes.
Levels.
Yes, it makes sense.
Yes.
You can say that realities appear or give rise to certain appearance, but we don't have to call that concept, because concept is a definite function of the mind door, which makes
this
sense.
This has through mind already.
The nimitta is also mind door.
Mm-hmm. Because the mind door can experience all kinds of objects, rupa and nama.
Yeah.
When you ask what is animita, and I said nibbana, and you said correct, but what about the other animita dharmas, including vipassana or direct insight, and the lokuttara cittas?
Yes, because
and the arupa jhana cittas.
When there is no understanding at all, everything that we think about is so true, so real, like people and things. But when there is the understanding of the characteristic of realities, we begin to know that actually what we take for real is not as real, like the Paramattha Dhamma, right? And after experiencing the arising and falling away, we understand what is meant, a dream. Nothing is left. So we get closer and closer to see reality as not sukha because of its three characteristics. Anicjang and anatta, until Nibbana is different from all realities which keep on arising endlessly when there are conditions.
Vipassana, jnana, or direct insight of reality, can one not say at that moment that it also is?
We don't have to call or say anything, but we begin to understand what is meant by different level of nimitta.
The different levels, because you said also that visible object has fallen away and there can be awareness of it, but we can never catch which one, and seeing also which one, it's impossible for us.
No counting.
No.
No thinking about words and terms for realities.
I thought it was also nimitta in that sense, that we never can catch it, it has fallen away.
Different meaning.
Yeah, because the Buddha knew all those things, but we cannot.
Is that the same as understanding, like I asked you the last time, about emptiness?
What is emptiness?
Was it emptiness?
Sunyata?
No.
Emptiness.
There,
or sunyata.
Okay.
Yeah.
Empty of sabhava.
Right. Empty of permanent.
Empty of permanent.
And self.
No, I brought up that sabhava thing. And Achyut was trying to explain why, at the moment of knowing the Dhamma, that it's arisen and fallen away. At that moment, then you know that it's not even that, it's empty.
In the sense that it's not permanent, void of self.
We know about these three characteristics of Nibbana, Sunyata, Animitta, and Apanihita. Voidness, signlessness, and desirelessness, and we know that it depends on whether Dharma is penetrated as impermanent dukkha or anatta, which aspect is realized, and that if the Dharma is penetrated as impermanent, it is the aspect of animitta, signlessness.
Because it keeps on arising and falling away.
I see. But
no permanent nimitta at all.
But why is that animitta?
Because there is no nimitta.
I see. Because I never quite understood that connection.
Because of its arising and falling away.
Okay. So animitta means no permanent nimitta.
Right.
It doesn't mean the characteristics that arise and fall away don't have nimitta. It just means the nimitta doesn't last.
Part of self. It's like this moment after we talk about realities. What do you think about reality? dukkha, or not permanent, or uncontrollable. Just start to see. And this can be accumulated on and on, until at that very moment one knows that according to one's accumulation, what appear, what aspect, panya takes the moment.
So are you saying if someone has the habit of considering realities as dukkha, say?
By nature, so one knows one's own accumulation better and better when satipatthana develops.
But isn't that just thinking, though? If you're just
No. For example, it seems like when we talk about the danger of birth and death,
yes,
and we think that birth brings only dukkha, we have to do many things in the day to keep on body and sankhara. This is quite right to say that it's thinking. Mm-hmm. But when there is the arising of a reality, do we have to think? Or is the moment of realizing the danger of the arising? So when some people read about considering birth, old age, sickness, and death, they think that they have to consider, to contemplate on this. But actually, it cannot be like the insight or the direct experience of the arising of a reality.
But still, if it's conditioned to arise to think that way about conviction of birth and death.
Because it's not the direct understanding with direct awareness.
But that too can be with some level of suffering.
It arises, so later on it will be conditioned by accumulation to be able to experience. And at moment of experiencing, you don't have to consider the danger of birth and so on.
But you're saying that type of thinking, if it's with kusala, can be a condition for future direct insight.
Each moment is accumulated.
Okay.
And on Sukhin's comment about sunyata, like even in one sutta, like the Chula Sunyata Sutta, it seems that it's using more than one meaning of sunyata. It's like it seems to be referring to sunyata as anatta, and sunyata in a conventional sense referring to the jhana cittas that are not there or something like that.
It depends on the aspect of what is meant by sunyata.
So even in one sutta it seems that there can be several aspects.
Because without the understanding of the sunyata, can there be that moment? The palasamapati, having nibbana with sunyata, yeah, or with animitta or apanihita.
Now, I brought the example of the patisamvidhamma where T.G. brought up,
yes,
as a, which states to the fact that there's contradicting the visuddhimagga,
mm-hmm,
about sabhava.
Mm-hmm. You brought that up,
yes,
recently in the Saturday afternoon,
yeah,
discussion.
Yeah.
You're going to share the answer on the
no,
list.
That's what I said. Ajahn said it, that in the Patisamvidhamma, it refers to that moment of realizing that even that Dhamma doesn't last. Crisis of falsehood.
For example, here in this sutta, thus he regards it as sunyata, what is not there, but as to what remains, he understands this is present, this is pure sunyata. So, in other words, what Dhammas are not arising, and then what is present.
When
so
does it arise?
Like at this moment, some dhammas.
Can it be nirodhasamapatti?
When there's no citta arising.
And before that?
It's arising.
Mm-hmm. And panya knows.
And then it says, just as this place is void of elephants, etc., so no attending to perception of the village, etc., he attends to the signlessness, ekata, dependent on perception of the forest. So it's no disturbance of defilements not present here, but still disturbance of gross defilements due to the lack of necessary tranquility. So I think it's referring to jhana states. But doesn't this meaning of sunyata seem to be different from the meaning of sunyata referring to the anattaness of dhammas?
I think that for samatha bhavana, it's not sunyata or anitmita or apanihita at all.
No.
But for those people who can have samatha and vipassana, they have different levels of jhana too.
Mm. But can one say that this use of sunyata is a different use?
Panya.
So he is just referring to
Panya.
Panya. Yeah. So sunyata he is referring to Panya.